The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program on the behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. God gives a nation and the world ample time to repent. That's the history of God. If you read back through His Word, you would understand that. He gives them ample time to repent and turn to Him. He never gets in a hurry to destroy a nation or an individual or the world. But He has done that in the past, and He will do that again, at least to the degree He sees fit. Most usually, God will send judgments one at a time, giving time and warning to repent, change your ways, so He won't have to bring you to your demise. But God's law of reaping what you sow will always be enforced. It works just like all the other laws. None of God's laws fail. There's no such thing as breaking God's laws and not living by His word and not paying a penalty, reaping what you sow. Now, why did God have to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding cities? The Bible tells us, and we, America, are on the same path as Sodom and Gomorrah were, and by legalizing same-sex marriages, which God says is an abomination to Him, is speeding our demise. In Genesis 19, beginning in verse 1, it says this, "Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. And they said, No, but we will spend the night in the open square. But he insisted strongly, so they turned into him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house." My friends, notice this, both old and young, it says, surrounded Lot's house. Old and young, everyone had been perverted. "And they called to Lot and said to him, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is why they have come under the shadow of my roof. How perverted and twisted they were, turning down two beautiful young virgins, and men wanting to have sex with men." Now, Lot was a righteous man, the Bible tells us that, but when pressure was put on Lot, even Lot caved to some degree and offered his two daughters, which no doubt he had taught to remain virgins until they were married. "And they said, Stand back. Then they said, This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge." In other words, Lot had been no doubt preaching to them to some degree, if not verbally, by his actions, that they were doing wrong. "And they said, Stand back. Then they said, This one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with him than with them. So they pressed hard upon the man Lot and came near to break down the door. In other words, a righteous man living in a place where everyone else seemed to have been so wicked. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door, that is, the two angels that had come under Lot's roof. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Then the men said to Lot, Have you anyone else here, son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, and whomever you have in the city? Take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws, who had married his daughters, and said, Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. In other words, he seemed to be out of it, and they didn't believe a thing he was saying. No doubt they were perverted to a great degree as well. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters, who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand and his wife's hands and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. In other words, Lot really didn't see that it was too urgent to get out all that quick, but God being merciful to him, the angels took him out. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life, do not look behind you." Now notice this, my friend. God told him through his angels, he said, "Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then Lot said to them, "Please know, my lords, indeed now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is not it a little one? And my soul shall live." And the men said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not destroy this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar, meaning a little city. The sun had risen up on the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife, that is Lot's wife, looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now that was a big blow to Lot, realizing that he no longer had his wife, when he realized that. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. But, you know, Lot's wife disobeyed God. God had told them to not look back, but she just couldn't leave her home, her city, and perhaps the way of Sodom and Gomorrah, the way of the world, the way of Satan at that time. In other words, telling us that she wasn't nearly as converted as she should be. So she looked back and she became a pillar of salt. It sounds like it would pay to obey God, doesn't it? And my friends, it does. And we're going to wake up to the fact that we were all wrong one of these days by not obeying our Maker. Verse 27, "And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Then he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt." Why did God remember Abraham when he destroyed the cities in which Lot had dwelt? Well, because Abraham was a righteous man, and Abraham was a man that believed God and obeyed God, and had taken Lot, his nephew, to rear after his father had died, which was Abraham's brother. Abraham had taught Lot to obey God, so God remembered Abraham and sent his angel to deliver Lot and his family out of Sodom before he destroyed that city. And his wife, Lot's wife, had an opportunity to be spared, to be saved at that time. The Bible tells us Lot was a righteous man as well. God delivers the righteous. And of course, God knew Lot and knew he was a man that served him. You know, the Bible tells us that the eyes of the Eternal run to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those that obey him. Even when everyone else in his city, that is in Lot's cities or community, were living by the way that seemed right to them, which is the way that leads to the death of an individual or a nation, meaning eternal death, the second death from which there will be no resurrection. It also means the demise or destruction or an end of a wicked society or an individual. Now you can repent and God will save in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. God spared Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, as you can read of in the book of Jonah. Therefore, God spared or saved the empire of the Assyrians because they repented. The pre-flood world, Sodom and Gomorrah, did not repent and would not repent, so God destroyed them. But he did save the righteous, which were Noah and Lot. Notice what Peter was inspired to pen about Lot in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. We'll get to that in the future program, but right now we do want to begin in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. In other words, in the time of the Apostle Peter, the time of the early Testament era of the church, and all the way back from Adam and Eve, there has been false prophets, counterfeit religion, in other words. Peter is telling us there has always been false prophets from the time of Adam and Eve, Satan himself being the first one. He's the one that started a counterfeit religion. He was the first false prophet. And no doubt Cain perhaps was the second one, or perhaps the first human being to begin espousing a false doctrine. You can read of them throughout the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. And Peter was telling us they were active in his day as well. Why would we think, my friend, that they're not active today? Jesus Christ tells us the same thing. He also tells us there will be a false prophet in the very end of this age of Satan's rule of the earth, which will be empowered by Satan to work great miracles, deceive everyone except the very elect. And Christ said that all life will be annihilated from the earth if it weren't for a few people still obeying him, which God calls the elect. Jesus Christ will return, crowned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, save life on this earth, and which it will take the return of Jesus Christ to do that. I see my time is up. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, we have a couple of booklets that you should read. And all you have to do is call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com, or go online, www.thewayitoughtobe.org, and request your free booklets. What does the Bible say about same-sex marriage and why Christ must return? That two booklets, What Does the Bible Say About Same-Sex Unions and Why Christ Must Return? This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.